The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 26th day of May, 2023. Folks, this year is really moving fast. And we have tonight, well, our producer is a young fellow who got into that job and has really grown into radio and done late. In fact, this year, I think he's done an exceptional job with us, and that is Courageous Craig.
Good evening, and thanks, Pastor.
You're welcome. And tonight, live with me on being Friday night, right live in the studio here with me, is my tech guy, and that is none other than the Ron Ritz.
Good evening, everyone.
And way out yonder in Texas, with them 10-gallon hats and them high-heel cowboy boots, none other than the John McTernan.
Well, thank you, Pastor Ernie, for the introduction, and God bless you and all our listeners.
All right, thanks, Big John. Boy, do we have a lot to cover tonight. We really do, so we got to get right after it. And we're going to start tonight in Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11. So if you're ready with your mechanical Bible, Ron is going to read verses 23 through 29, and then you'll pick it up in verses 30 through 35. 30 through 35, and then I will finish the chapter here. And so go ahead, Ron, take her away.
By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsake Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do so, were drowned.
By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab punished not them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephunneh and of David, also of Samuel and the other prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection.
And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds of imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword, and they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. And they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. All these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So let's go back to verse 23. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. His parents feared God more than they did the king, didn't they?
Yes.
Okay, so, you know, here that fella, Benjamin Rush once said, where there is no law, there is no liberty. And when our law comes from God, our law comes from God. What is lawful comes from God. There's often today, there's a big difference between what is lawful and what is legal. We have a lot of legal things that are absolutely not lawful at all.
Unlawful, yep.
Yeah, very unlawful. And so, by faith, when Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh, again, he obeyed God rather than the government, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. We're living in a very perilous times today in America. There's, in my lifetime, this country is more divided now than it's ever been. What do you think, John?
Absolutely, Pastor Ernie. There's no middle ground in this. How can we walk together with people that want to take little kids in school and teach them wicked sin and mentally molest them and maybe even physically molest them and turn little boys into girls? And I mean, that's just the start of how we are so divided, and we can't reconcile to this, Pastor.
No, we can't. We have, first of all, we have our mission. God gave us three very clear missions. No stuttering there. What we're commanded to do, and all of those that went before us were commanded. This nation was founded on godly principles, on God's word, the Bible.
Yes.
And so, let me jump down here to verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Here, Joshua was a real soldier. But you know who was the greatest soldier that there ever was? The greatest soldier there ever was. It's in Exodus chapter 15, verse 3. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is a man of war. And then, and Joshua, the captain of the host. He's the captain of the host. And then in Revelation chapter 19, sitting on a white horse, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, and he leads his armies against the armies of the world. Okay, so the Lord Jesus Christ himself was the world's greatest soldier and literally fought in a lot more battles than people have any idea of. But here, he goes on to say, by faith, Rahab the harlot perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Let me tell you, she was a sexual harlot, but, you know, her. God looked upon her heart, didn't he? And if you compare that to the whores today that are wearing three-piece suits, I mean, I think she fares a lot better.
Oh, yeah. She's not riding in hell, that's for certain.
Right, well, she was actually,
Pastor Ernie, she actually ended up in the genealogy of the Lord.
I know. He goes on to say, what shall I more say, for the time would fail me to tell you of Gideon. Gideon, he was a man, let me tell you, do you know what Courage is not facing danger when you have no fear of the danger. Courage is facing danger when your knees are shaking and you're so scared. I've seen men so scared they've thrown up, okay? That takes courage when you face the danger anyhow, okay? And Gideon, the Lord found him. Where did he find him, John?
Wow. I can tell you about Gideon, but I don't know where he... I don't know, Pastor Ernie.
He found him down where they shucked the corn and the wheat. He was hiding. And the Lord came to him and referred to him as a man of valor. And old Gideon says, "Do you see what I'm doing down here?" He was threshing. He was down there on the threshing floor, hiding. And God had given him instructions of what he was going to do. And he says, "Me?" You know.
I think he thought he was a slacker.
Yeah.
He himself.
Well, yeah. Well,
he wasn't up for the task.
He did test the Lord, Pastor Ernie. Gideon did test the Lord. You know what that belief? He needed a little proof that God really wanted to use him.
Yeah. And then here you go ahead and you saw how he ended up. He ended up fighting 35,000 with 300. And he won.
Gideon's 300.
Yeah. Yep. And so he goes on. He talks about others, Barak, and of Samson. And, you know, Barak, he went and he fought against the enemies as both of a judge and a general there of Israel. And here he goes on to say, and Samson, well, we know about Samson, right? Samson was a judge in Israel. And he took out a whole bunch at one time too, didn't he?
Several times, yeah.
He just got messed up with that woman.
Yep, that was the end of him.
Yeah. And so we go on here, and of course, David. Well, you know, volumes and volumes and volumes are written about King David. And so through faith, he subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. And so here today, John, you have, well, I know we had the, with the neo-evangelicals, one of the problems we have with neo simply means new, is that movement that came in where here back in the early 60s and really took over, got into the seminaries, and that was the effeminization of the pastors, huh? It was a horrible thing, wasn't it?
I remember that, Pastor Ernie. So it seemed to hit like in the mid-70s.
Well, it started back in the early 60s. It was when it came from Germany. It was called the German Enlightenment Movement. And the idea was that they were talking about, and I remember when you talk about back in about the 70s, these guys would come on Jim Dobson's show, and they were talking about, it kind of made me sick in a way, where they were talking about learning to get in touch with their feminine self. In other words, these pastors, that they had to get in touch with their feminine. And I'm thinking to myself, what in the world are they talking about? I don't have any feminine self. I don't have, you know. And yet, this idea, they all sounded alike. They would talk. In other words, we want to be sweeter than Jesus, you know. Jesus was very manly. Jesus was very manly, okay? You know, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And that spread, and a lack of courage. There was such a dearth of courage there in the pulpit, a horrible dearth of courage in the pulpit. What we ended up with is a bunch of very well-groomed and well-mannered effeminate men. And that was not good.
Pastor Ernie, when you look at the big picture, that was a prelude to the homosexuals coming in.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. It goes on to say, let me finish here. when he says, women received their dead raised to life again, Elijah. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, and moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. That was Isaiah was sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Now, we're talking about these people and Memorial Day, they that went before us. And if we look about the early church and the early church fathers, in whom the world was not worthy, and wandered in deserts and in the mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth, and all these having obtained a good report. That's what it says over in chapter 2, verse 5. It starts out talking about a good report. It's chapter 11, verse 2, if I remember right. And all of those having obtained a good report through faith received not the promise. So that good report, what we're referring to, is a good testimony before God.
Like approval?
Well, yeah, it was there before Almighty God, yeah. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And do you know what he's referring to, John, that better thing?
That is the gospel in the New Testament.
Well, they were looking ahead at Calvary. Actually, it's Calvary. They were looking ahead to the cross. We received that promise when the Messiah came. He had not come in their lifetime. And that was the promise of eternal life, huh?
Right. That's the gospel.
Yep. All right. Very good. I think we've got to stop right there. I got to make a quick announcement here, and that is that this coming May 29th, Memorial Day, here, I'm going to make this local because in Ohio, we're on four times a day, and here, locally, where they're having, John, you've been out here where we live. It's country, and I hope that it keeps that way. Although, boy, you're seeing more and more little shopping centers popping up. But here, Newberry, Ohio, is like, it's just a little country township. But the American Legion Post 663 to officiate the Newberry Township Memorial Day activities, itinerary for Memorial Day activities follows. The participants will be American Legion Post 663, the Newberry Fire Department, a bunch of us local church pastors, and, you know, just the local businesses, the volunteer participants for the parade officiated by Dean Eppley as the parade marshal. There will be a community picnic, and that is free, open to everyone. And that's right across the street there at Post 663. So it starts off there at 8 o'clock at Post 663, right there on Route 87 in Newberry. Newberry's not that big, so...
No, you can't miss it.
It's only one post there, so...
Yeah.
And then at 9:30, they go to the South Newberry Cemetery, which is right down the road on Route 44. And then at 10 o'clock, they go to the Munn Road Cemetery, which is in the other direction and down on Munn Road. And then at 12 o'clock, I will be speaking. They've asked me to come and give an invocation at the Newberry Veterans Park Service. And that's right at the corner of Route 87 and Kinsman. And so you'll see us and you'll see a bunch of the doers of the word there. Okay. And then at 12:30, there's going to be a parade to Center Cemetery from Overland Park. And then at 1 o'clock, there will be a Center Cemetery service. And that's right next to the Newberry Town Hall. And so That's all the itinerary for.
Did you say the Grand Marshal is Dean Epley?
Yeah.
Okay, I think I know him.
Okay.
A long time ago. Good guy.
All right, very good.
Pastor Ernie, you were talking about living in the country.
Yeah.
I'm sure you never forgot that night I was I stayed over your house, and I went to sleep about midnight or so, and about 12:30 that cannon went off. Do you remember that, Pastor Ernie?
I sure do. I sure do.
I leaped out. I was standing I was sleeping, and I was awake standing. That thing, that explosion. But then that neighbor was fired it off. I don't know. It was all night long.
Yeah, they would do that, and but I helped them stop doing that because, well, you see out here we have no noise ordinance. So where we live out there, and which is even smaller than Newberry, novelty, there was no noise ordinance, so you could do that, and as long as you had a fire pit, you could have a big fire. And so we had some bad neighbors that would like to. They wanted to, they would have a clam bake in the summertime, and they would blow off the cannons, and it was really bad. And what happened was, they would bring in a beer to drink, and they would get drunk, and some of them in the summertime would pass out, and they'd be out all night. Well, and they would be laying down, and it was not good because you have all these drunks, okay? And, you know, when men have to relieve themselves, they go behind a tree or something. But you don't usually see women doing that, but down there you actually saw women doing that. And so what happened was, I thought they needed some spiritual guidance. So I would, in the morning, at about 5 o'clock in the morning, just as the sun was coming up, I put one of my CDs in, and I had that big boom box, okay? It was loud. And I would go down there, and I would play that music about 5. We had all these drunks laying around. They'd be sitting up holding their heads, you know. Don't fall into the burning lake of fire. Okay.
Yeah.
I would be playing these songs, and it kind of ruined their days. Because they always did this on a Saturday night, and that would be Sunday morning. They'd be laid down there drunk. Well, what we did is we bought the property to keep that from happening again. We bought that property so that we could never get another neighbor like that. But that neighbor, who I had helped him out, and then he turned and did this. I didn't realize at the time, but one day, a couple years later, he actually called me out of the clear blue, and he said, "You know what? I'm calling you and to ask you to forgive me for the way I've been, the kind of neighbor I was. I've been listening to you on the radio, and I'm sorry for what I did and the way we acted, and I want to apologize. I hope you forgive me." And so I said, "All right." And then I find out later on, not too long after that, he died of cancer.
Wow, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
wow. I remember, Pastor Ernie, you sent me an affidavit to sign about the explosions going on all night long and couldn't sleep. I mean, these weren't firecrackers, folks.
No, that was a regular cannon. It was an actual cannon.
It was.
And the funny thing was, because what we lived in our little township, being so small, there was no ordinance against it noise. They had no noise ordinance.
Now, but it's so small they couldn't afford a noise ordinance.
Right.
That's pretty small.
Yeah. So that way I could play my music as loud as I wanted to.
Yep.
And anyhow, those were some interesting times. But I didn't know. If you'd ever had that experience. You had quite a few experiences when you stayed here with me, didn't you? But we had some good times. Anyhow, Hey, we'll be back right after this.
If I could send a simple message to our troops at home and far away, I would make one small promise. Hear me now, this is what I'd say. You are forever heroes. We won't forget you. We know the sacrifice you've made. Forever heroes. God bless and keep you. You're the you in the you. Share pride and pain with you. You are like stars, shine on forever, forever red and white and blue. You are
we are back. And you know, every general we had, every great general, starting with George Washington in American history, were men of great faith. And General MacArthur would be a very good example of that. And today, if they were here today with the war, that what they call a culture war in this country, they would be doing exactly what we're doing, fighting it with everything they have.
Yep.
And so today, Bud Light, Target, and the Dodgers launch a religious war, and it's time to choose sides, editorial warns. Corporate America has launched a religious war against members of faith. across the nation. And along, add the FBI to that. I see Merrick Garland got grilled again today. Josh Hawley really went after Merrick Garland. He went after him big time. And here, so now...
Did you see the Los Angeles Dodgers, that program that they had about the nuns? It was the most repulsive thing I've ever seen.
It was very repulsive, and guess what, folks? Listen to you. You know, I got to tell you, if you would attend a Dodgers game,
there's something wrong with you.
I would. Yeah, I wouldn't think very much of you.
You know, and that means not just for the next couple of months, but just
forever.
Years.
Yeah,
I mean that.
What do you think, John? What do you think about anyone that one would go to, would shop at Target? Okay, anyone that would shop at Target, buy Budweiser. See, what they did is they virtually stuck a rebellious fist. Well, they did worse than that. They gave you the middle finger is what they did.
Yeah.
And they said, look, we're too big. You don't worry us, okay? We really don't need your business. Well, Budweiser's Anheuser-Busch, they're over $11 billion in losses, so maybe they feel different now. But I don't drink their beer, but if I had drank beer, I would have stopped it with them.
They came up with camo cans to get the crowd back on board.
And as soon as Target, John, as soon as Target started up with the same-sex bathrooms in their stores, that was it. We held a couple protests out in front of the Target stores here in the Cleveland area. But
Pastor Ernie, they were one of the really first ones to go woke like that. And I can remember, I haven't heard of any lately, but there have been a number of men arrested for assaulting ladies in the ladies' room.
Not just that, but they got caught taking pictures of little girls in the girls' bathroom at Target stores. These are pedophiles, and they were in there. They went in dressed like women, these trans things. And so, I mean, that is sick. That is very sick. I would never shop at a Target store. In fact,
no.
You know, in fact, if I was to see somebody coming out of there with a package, I'd say, you know what, you don't have any morals or values. You've got you're morally challenged, aren't you?
No principles.
No principles.
Yeah,
right.
Pastor Ernie, this is an ideology that is driven from hell, and they're willing to absorb literally billions of dollars in loss. For their ideology.
That's a good point.
Yeah, but their stockholders aren't.
And, but for some reason they've been taking the wrong side of just about every issue for the past 10, 15,
and
20 years.
They've been losing.
Yeah, but they're still around, though, is the point. It's like they do not, they've delinked economics to the product. They do not care because it's more of an agenda.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, let me talk about that agenda. Here it is.
Pastor Ernie, I have an article here. Target, this is the article.
Partners with controversial education group Gleason, promoting gender transition in schools without parental consent, right?
Yeah, Target funds. Well, there's a paragraph here. Let me read it. Well, the title is Target Partners with Organizations Pushing for Kids' Genders to be Secretly Changed in School Without Parental Consent. All right, quote, Target Corporation is partnering with a K-12 educational group which focuses on getting districts to adopt policies that will keep parents in the dark of their child's in-school gender transition, providing sexually explicit books to schools for free, and integrating gender ideology at all levels of curriculum in public schools. And this was uncovered by Fox News, and the organization is called GLSEN, and they are targeting children, and they are into also the turning children into transgenders, and this is who Target is donating. They're big time supporters of this group.
Yeah, they donated what, $3 million or more?
It doesn't say. The article, I didn't pick it up how much it was, but why, of all the organizations you could donate to, why would you do this other than you're a hard left ideologue woke at war with God?
It's in your face. It's, you know, it's shaking a rebellious fist in the face of God. And again, so this has given us an opportunity.
They're going after the children, Pastor Ernie.
I know.
That's the thing about, that's the rub about this. They are targeting children.
I think, like John said earlier, it's straight from the gates of hell.
It is, and so we have to resist unto death. We've got to fight back. I mean, and we are fighting back with everything. And this is why we're calling people to boycott Target, and you know, to go to a Dodgers game. If I were to see somebody, and they were telling me they were going to the Dodgers game, if I didn't know anything about them, I would say these people are morally challenged, huh?
Yeah, okay. You would know a lot about them, actually.
Yeah.
What about, Pastor Ernie, people that still go to Disney World?
Yep.
Yeah, well, they're losing, more and more people are awakening to that, but I would say the very same thing.
Yeah. We had friends growing up that were reported, you know, they give you the impression they're very pious, very religious, but sure enough, they're off to Disney. We actually had a preacher at the church we went to about 5, 6, 7 years ago did his spiel on, we can't boycott this, we can't boycott that, we can't boycott everything, and then packed his family up and went to Disneyland, or Disney World. I mean, the hypocrisy is mind-boggling.
You know what I would have said? I would have said, I can boycott this church.
Well, that's what we did. We actually left.
That's a pretty good one, Pastor Ernie.
In
Texas, they have grocery stores called Kroger's. Now, I don't know if they're out of Texas, but...
They used to be here in Ohio, but I haven't seen any in years.
Yeah,
and I found out that they were big-time supporters of all of this, going after the kids. And so I asked to speak to the manager of the store, and I ended up speaking to her, and I read what they're supporting. I read it. She knew it. She knew it. And I said to her, why are you targeting kids like this? Well, we're inclusive. We're an inclusive store. I said, well, you're inclusive, yes. I said, do you support pro-life centers or put people that are helping mothers in need? And she looked at me, and she gave me this little smirk on her face. And I said, no, you don't. And I said, you fit in Kroger's. I said, you're a hard left ideologue. That's what you are. And we just glared at each other. And I said, I have no more to say. And I left.
Oh, let me tell you. Go ahead.
I would never give you a penny, because your profits are used to molest little kids that are sexually confused. That's what you do here at Kroger's.
Well, yeah, I know about Kroger's, and I would never shop at Kroger's. This is why, you know, I've always tried to do the, and even if it costs me more money, Ron knows, I always go to the mom and pop stores.
Yeah,
I'll always go to a mom and store. I won't go to Walmart. I won't go to any of these. Yeah. Look at Walmart. They've closed how many stores now? Because they gave $300 million to burn, loot, and murder.
Yeah.
And or what they call Black Lives Matter. And some of the very same people, the burn, loot, and murder, burned some of Walmart stores down.
Yeah. Robbed them blind, yeah.
Yeah, robbed them blind. Where they've had to close and close a lot of their stores down. But I wouldn't go to Walmart because...
Yes, sir, Ernie, they just closed 5 of them in Chicago because... They couldn't function anymore. So much was being stolen from the stores.
Yeah.
They just did it. And Black Lives Matter just declared bankruptcy. Did you see that?
No.
Yeah, we covered that last night.
Huh.
They stole all that money. The people that were in charge stole all that money. Yeah. I mean, how many millions was it?
Yeah, the thing I found really ironic, when they were burning down the cities in 2020, they would burn down a Walgreens, and Walgreens would come out the following morning, we support the cause, we're going to, you know, help with the social, whatever the program was. It was amazing that you can actually destroy something of someone, and then they support you for it.
Yeah.
They were so afraid to stand up to them.
That was extortion.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly.
You know who was a big extortionist, Pastor Ernie, was...
Jesse Jackson.
Yeah,
Jesse Jackson was known.
I mean, he would go to these corporations and say, you know, you have to donate to, what was it then, the Rainbow Coalition?
Rainbow Coalition, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you don't, you're going to have a strike here. We're going to
He went after Anheuser-Busch, and... he would shake him down. They called him Shakedown Jackson. But here now, what had happened? Do you remember Tim and Beverly LaHaye?
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Okay. Well, when there was a chain of stores that used to be called Lawson's, okay? OJ, the big orange juice.
Yeah.
Okay.
48 hours.
Right. Well, anyhow, they had gotten into... carrying like Playboy and Hustler in their small stores and the racks, you know, where kids could see this stuff. Well, they came here. They came up here. I had him on the radio program with me. We spent some time and we went out. We got a group of people together and we went out to picket some of the stores. But what had happened was, and I'm trying to remember, because it wasn't just the Lawson's, there was two or three chains. But one woman wrote a letter to the CEO of one of those big chains. And in this letter talked about why she would not come to the store, how she was offended because of the pornography. Well, it seemed like what happened, it was like the CEO was not even aware that his store, their stores were carrying this. It just took one letter from that woman. And he made a phone call saying, I want all of that pornography out of all of our stores, on one letter.
The one difference is, number one, you had a responsible citizenry. Basically, I would say at least 60-70% of the adults at that time were World War II generation. They would simply boycott, stop buying, but... The reason that guy responded is because, number one, he did the right thing, but it's also an issue of profits. Like we were talking 5-10 minutes ago,
yep.
These corporations now, they don't give a crap. They've delinked the economics to their agenda, and they do not care.
Well, we can make, let me tell you, the board of directors, the shareholders, they care. The stockholders do care. And we're seeing, Target just took a big hit. Cost them over $2 billion, okay, in losses already. From their stocks are dropping, the value of the money, their stocks have dropped. So, anyhow, and again, folks, it depends on what kind of, what's your standards? You folks out there, listen to me. I mean, if you've got no standards, if you've got no morals, if a place like Target's good enough for you, then go ahead. If a place like, going to a Dodgers game, man, you might even want to dress in your drag outfit. If you're going to go there, you might as well go all the way. Dress as your drags, you know, and go there. If your morals and your standards are so low that you would attend a Dodgers game, okay, I would have, you know, you wonder why things are the way they are.
Yeah, we keep supporting it on the whole. If you look at...
Don't say we, because I won't.
Well, not us, but the general public. Look at all the things that sports figures have done, the agenda that they've done. They're LGBTQ mounds. They've got it, every professional sport doing it. They faced some backlash, but they continue to do it because people keep going to the games. They keep watching them on TV. They keep supporting them.
Well, you know, if people are degenerate, then, you know, maybe that's what they're supposed to do.
Well,
if they've got no values, no decency, no integrity, then go ahead. I mean, You know, in fact, you know, if someone was telling me that they would be attending that, I'd say, you're really not much of a person, are you? I mean, you're not really the kind of person I'd want to be, you know.
Yeah.
Now, let me tell you what this, you've heard a guy named Abraham Lincoln, right? Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
You know what he said? He said, for men to remain silent when they should speak out makes cowards of men and destroys nations. What do you think, McTernan?
Oh, absolutely, Pastor Ernie. If we close ranks here, and there was a huge percentage of, especially the men, but you know, women are needed too in this, but the men are really should be out front. This whole thing couldn't move. It would come to a grinding halt, Pastor. But there is a lack of fire in the belly, a lack of
conviction,
fear of how holy God is, a lack of the fear of Him that He would move to destroy us. We don't believe in a nation, or the church, for the most part, doesn't believe that God will destroy us for what we're doing.
Well, you know, it seems like the Catholics and real Christians of a kind are a little upset with Dodgers. I don't. They have called together a permanent boycott. Okay, and a whole lot of those people that used to attend those same thing. I've noticed that the people are starting to fight back. You know, Burger King took that position, you know, of a woke, and now they're closing 400 stores down. Okay. That might be, maybe let them self-destruct, because what's happening where we live out here, you're seeing a whole lot more of the mom-and-pop stores opening. Now, we're seeing that corporate America, the Antichrist, satanic corporate America, their goal is to close down the churches. In fact, there's, you know, is not in the churches, but to have corporate America squeeze the small guys out, to squeeze them all out, put them out of business, to where everything, the media and all your retail is owned by a few super large chains. But I'm seeing it start to work in the opposite direction right now, going in the other direction. See, out here where we live, you have a lot of small mom-and-pop stores. And when I mean small, I mean, and I'm not talking about real small, but I'm talking about grocery stores that are opening that are the size of grocery stores that the way they used to be, say, back in the 50s and 60s, where they weren't huge like Walmart, but they weren't real small either. So I'm seeing that happening here. I don't know what's happening where you're at, but I'm seeing it happening a lot where I'm at. Alrighty, let's switch over to this one. Officer Bryant Williams, identified as the D.C. cop who pushed Trump supporter Derek Fargo off a three-story ledge on January 6th in what appears to be attempted murder. And so here, four Trump supporters were murdered. They were murdered on January 6th. 2021 by very, very dirty cops, in the District of Columbia. Derek Fargo is lucky he was not the fifth. On January 6, 2021, Trump supporter Derek Fargo was pushed off the ledge of the U.S. Capitol by a very dirty D.C. cop. Fargo told the Gateway pundit Cara Castronovia in an exclusive interview that he was climbing the wall to fly his Trump flag after being inspired by another rally goer flying an American flag from a high perch. Capitol Police tried to murder me, said Fargo. I'm stepping forward to be the voice for those that were killed on January 6th, that were murdered, like Ashley Babbitt, Rosanna Boylan, and others who no longer have a voice. There will not be justice to those dirty cops. And remember that January 6th committee? All of those crooked politicians sitting on that, John?
It's like a blur to me, that committee. It's like, seriously, I I can't tell you anything about it. In my mind, it's a blur like it never happened.
Well, it's not a blur to me. I've been watching it, and there will be no justice until that entire committee and those dirty cops are in that very same filthy, dirty D.C. jail, and I mean a filthy, dirty jail, where the Christian patriots have been held.
I remember when that committee was Liz Cheney. I remember her.
Well, she was a wicked one. Oh, you had...
Oh, my, Pastor Ernie, she was... She's in a class by herself of evil. She reminds me of Pelosi.
Yep. You had mostly... Pelosi was there. She was a big part of that. But you had mostly all Democrats. There were two rhinos and mostly all Democrats there involved in that. You have a quick article there.
Yes, Memorial Day. This is an article by Reese Lloyd, but Memorial Day is a day to remember what should be remembered every day. The service and sacrifice of more than 1.3 million American veterans who have given their lives in war so that we, their posterity, might live as free Americans. But Memorial Day 2023 differs from past Memorial Day observances. Our nation is more divided on this Memorial Day than perhaps any time since the Civil War. Indeed, the country has been experiencing accelerating transformation from being one nation under God into a divided nation without God, resulting in seething, increasingly violent animus and mutual distrust. There's a general that had a great quote on this. Major General Patrick H. Brady, Medal of Honor recipient, is considered to be America's most decorated living veteran. He said, "We have no titles of nobility under our Constitution. Americans' nobles are our veterans. On Memorial Day, what is most important, indeed, most vital, is that we remember, honor, and are grateful for the courage, love, service, and sacrifice of America's veterans in defense of our freedom, especially those more than 1.3 million veterans who have given their lives defending our country. They are the soul of freedom, the guardians of our Constitution, and the vault for the values of our nation. We, as Americans, this Memorial Day must honor those veterans who gave their lives for our freedom. And we must ask ourselves, are we Americans still a people willing to die to preserve freedom, as did those 1.3 million Americans who gave their lives for us?" I think he hit it perfectly.
Well, yeah. Okay. There's no point in life without liberty, right?
Yes.
Our rights come from God, not from a government, okay? Whatever, any government that's so big that can give you all your rights.
Can take them away.
Right. And so, folks, and our government has become so corrupt that we have no obligation to recognize it with any legitimacy at all. There is no obligation to do that. So, anyhow, we're coming up to a break. And when we come back from the break, we're going to have a quick clip, John. And this is on the Reese Report with David Martin, exposing democide. Be right back with more. Don't go away. One.
Fight the fight. Take a stand. Fight the lie. Feel our land. Let's come against the night.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Let's see. You've applied for our open position for account representative? Yeah, that's the one.
Great. I see you went to UC Berkeley.
It was really awesome. We had several sit-ins to protest oppressive capitalism.
Oh, and how about your skills for this position?
Oh, yes. I know all about how to spot microaggressions and root out privilege.
We don't really do that here. We do accounting and finance consulting.
Do you have any safe spaces?
Safe spaces?
Yes, where people can go to get away from the colonialist mentality. As long as there's a diversity, equity, and inclusion policy, we'll be fine.
Life's too short to waste your time on bad hires. I'm Andrew Krapschatz, the CEO and founder of RedBalloon.Work. Every week, tens of thousands of reliable, career-minded job seekers visit RedBalloon.Work without all that woke nonsense. Post your open jobs at RedBalloon.Work. And if you put in promo code SALEM, you'll receive 10% off your first month's job postings.